We believe that you are strong by design, and you were made in God's image to have a strong body, mind, and spirit. You're listening to the number one Strength and Health Authority podcast in the world. So let's get ready to unlock your potential and transform your life in today's episode. Welcome to the Strong by Design podcast show. You are in for a treat today, ladies and germs, because Coach Brian, Coach Brian and Coach Chris are going to shed some serious wisdom, some knowledge, some experience on you, and it's going to be life-changing. I feel that.
I hope so.
Welcome.
Welcome. You said welcome two times. Yes. So when Chris ever, when he greets you twice, you know you're going to be
the double.
You're in for a good one.
The double greeting.
Yeah. It's a great day today. Thank you for jumping onto our podcast channel.
Another beautiful Wednesday.
Yeah. So welcome to the Strong by Design podcast. Coach Chris is a co-host. Co-host Coach Brian, one of the co-hosts here on the Strong by Design podcast. So again, welcome. If this is your first time listening, warm welcome to you. We're so glad you've decided to try us out. You've test drove the vehicle, or you're in the driver's seat, ready to test drive the vehicle. Hopefully we don't disappoint you. And if we do disappoint you in this episode, give us a second shot, because sometimes we don't always get that A+.
I feel like this is a roundabout way of saying that I've failed.
No, I said
this
we
show in the
I
past.
Said we.
Okay.
I said we.
It was a collective thing.
So,
okay.
Yeah.
Hey, but we do, what makes this such a great show is we have different hosts.
That's what I was trying to get.
That's where you're getting at?
Like, okay.
Because maybe they've only heard one with Tanya before, or one with Mike. They've never heard, you know, you or me.
Yeah. So how our podcast works, we upload an episode once a week. We used to do two, and then we just, to tell you the truth, it was just too much for us physically. It was exhausting. It was twice the amount of work.
Right.
And here at Critical Bench, we're a publishing company, and the podcast is just one small branch of what we do. And we didn't get burned out. We just decided to pull back to one. Mm-hmm. But not only that,
and make the one that much better by dumping all of our efforts into
it. We didn't want to just overwhelm you with information or content or whatever. We wanted just to make this one episode, this weekly episode, what you need to hear for the week. Mm-hmm. And this topic that we're talking about today is going to be something that might not apply to you in this exact moment, but it will. It's going to affect you later on in life.
Every person
or
is affected.
Somebody, and I'll give a perfect example of how this is going to. It's all going to tie together, or it's definitely going to. You're going to be able to use this to somebody within your immediate network, your immediate community. Mm-hmm. Before we dive in, I want to welcome all those return listeners. Thank you for coming back and giving us a second chance, a third chance, or if you're been with us since day one, you're awesome. Thank you so much. So, Chris.
Yes.
What are we diving into today?
We are diving. We're diving into a huge topic that I know both of us really like. And it's one that we have a great amount of respect for and a lot of experience in as longtime, you know, trainer/coaches working with people of all ages, younger, certainly, and older, certainly. So this topic in particular, and we're talking about balance, is huge in it's a bit lost, I think, in the middle, but it's a huge factor in younger kids, adolescents. And it's a huge factor, obviously, with our, you know, our older group, our senior and into senior citizens, you know, so anyone like probably plus the age of 60, it becomes a really huge deal.
Yeah. And we're talking physical balance,
not balance in life with,
you know, juggling this and balancing that. Like we're physically, we're literally talking about the physical balance of the body, physiologically speaking, being able to stay upright and to be in a stabilized position, whether that's standing, seated, prone, supine, it just being in a balanced position. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, so I'm excited for this conversation. Yeah. It's always been, balance is one of those things that you, as a coach and as a trainer, and even as like a doctor and a medical professional, balance is one of those things that it's you're going to lose balance. Like that is something that we need to prevent and minimize. Minimize. Mm-hmm. That we need to prevent the loss of balance in any age. I mean, think about it. What do kids, they do when they're babies?
Yeah.
What's one thing that they don't have?
Yeah, absolutely. They don't have balance. They don't have proprioception. They don't have a sense of their body in space.
Right.
Right. And that's what I love about this topic is because it's something that is so huge as, you know, for young people, for babies, for, you know, for from the infants up to toddlers, up to, you know, small children, right. You know, balance, right? Kids are always falling. And thank the Lord, he made children very small and low to the ground because he knew they're going to go down a lot and they're going to hit the ground a lot. So I need to just keep them low
right.
for a while and get them good. And that's where, you know, the crawling and the rocking and the, you know, which eventually leads to obviously, I should say rolling, crawling and rocking, which leads to walking, right? All those things are predicated on a sense of balance. And when you start to, I'm going to fast forward now to an 89-year-old, when you've lost that sense of balance, what happens? Life becomes very, very difficult. Yes. Life becomes scary.
Right.
You don't have confidence in yourself. You lose your independence. So much like when you're a child, you're very dependent on everyone else around you. When you get older, you become very dependent on people around you. And a lot of that is based on our physical abilities.
Right.
And I think this is paramount in anyone's, programming. Whatever you're doing when it comes to exercise, you have to kind of in the back of your head have some of those movements that are filtering through or rotating through mm-hmm. your workouts that are going to help you make, you know, one-legged things or, you know, on all fours on the ground or, you know, moving laterally or doing something with your eyes closed or, you know, doing things that put you in a somewhat uncomfortable or, you know, an unsure, you know, yeah. Different surfaces, you know, because that's what life is. Life is unpredictable. And life puts us in all different, you know, right. in all different planes of motion, right? And so we need to be able to respond and react to that accordingly. And that's what's so fun about training athletes and stuff, right? We're putting them on a stability ball or on a Bosu or on some kind of a foam pad or, you know, we're testing them in all different ways because, you know, that's what the body's gonna have to react to and respond to in training
or yeah,
you know in competition.
And that's so true. We all can name at least one person that has fallen unexpectedly. Mm-hmm. I mean the death rate for unexpected injuries that are literally attributed to falls or slips, you know, they slip off a step or things like that. And you've got, I'm sure you've got the statistic.
I have one here and I forgot where I pulled it from, but this is actually based on information I got from an FAI summit I went to not mm-hmm. that long ago, a couple of years now, but Functional Aging Institute. And that it was all really kind of centered around balance and brain health and stuff. That's the other part of it too, is the connection between our balance and our brain, our cognitive abilities. But one in three, this is alarming, one in three people over the age of 65 die from a fall. Okay. So, you know, and that's not to say that when they fall, they die, you know, right then and there, but I guarantee you, you know somebody in either in your family or connected to your family, maybe a friend of some kind, that when they got into their later years and they had a hard fall and maybe they busted their shoulder or their hip or some area of the body was, right. you know, there was a trauma. Within a year of that fall, they were, you know, pretty much, unfortunately, they passed on because that fall stole their freedom, stole their independence, stole their ability to be active on a daily basis.
Right.
When you lose that ability to move well and move often, your body, you break down so fast. It's unbelievable. Thank you so much for listening to the Strong by Design podcast. If you find our show helpful in any way, please let us know by leaving a 5-star review on iTunes. Go to strongbydesignpodcast.com. Your review will help us reach more listeners and continue to change lives. Let's get back to the show.
Yeah, and we'll stay here for a minute or two just because the implications that is tied directly to these injuries is it's mind-blowing just because what you just said, like you lose your ability to be active. But think about usually when an 89-year-old slips and falls, what happens? They break their femur, their biggest bone in the body. They snap it in half. This happened to my wife's grandfather. Mm-hmm. He slipped and fell, broke his femur in half. And of course, mentally, he's there, but physically, he's ailing. He's older. We're not going to be like, oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. You're just going to have to deal with... No. Emergency surgery. And that's... I mean, they got to put him under. They got to cut him open, pretty much. Fix his bone. Now he's... In a wheelchair for so long, mm-hmm. he lacks the upper body strength to get in and out of a wheelchair, in and out of the bed, shower, you name it. So now he's at the mercy of his help, the nurses and things like that in order to make this recovery. All meanwhile, he's still aging. He's losing his ability to exercise and to be mobile. And then it's really the effect of the injury, not so much the injury itself. And we were at Disney the other day, and my wife and I, we're in line walking up, and you know those lines can be, you know, they're windy. There's some, you know, some sharp turns that go uphill, downhill. There's steps, and we went through the fast pass lane. So there was a couple of people in line, and you're cruising through the line. Older couple, kind of alongside of us, and I mean this guy he had a we called it just a dead foot. You know, it just, there's no life to that foot. Mm-hmm. He lost
like neuropathy might have, right? Yeah, he lost sensation and feeling. And
you could tell that just because how he was stepping, very common as you age.
Yeah.
So he misplaced a foot, on a ledge. I mean, it was kind of hidden. I don't want to be like, oh, this guy's, you know, here we go. But he wasn't expecting what happened next. He lost his footing, but he was still able to catch himself. He stuttered. I mean, luckily I was there. I quickly knew what was happening. I put my arm on him, pushed him back up. My dad's on the other side, saw what happened, was behind in case he was going down. Like this guy was, he was in good hands. We quickly propped him up. You know, he kind of shook it off. You know, it looked like he might have twisted his ankle a little bit. But I looked at my wife and I said, if he fell right then and there, there was a good chance he would have died within the next year or two. And I'm not saying that.
No, it occurred to you in the moment.
That's how people fall and die. Mm-hmm. In that little time at Disney World when you think everything is happy, you've got your grandkids, you're in the happiest place on earth. That would be his defining moment of this is the end of my life. Just because he misplaced a foot and stepped on a little 3-inch curb. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it just stuff like that. We never know when we're going to be able to take our last step.
That's right.
And the older we get, the less prepared and the less physically able we are to count or to bounce back or to prevent that fall.
Right.
So if you're listening, if you're still listening here and you're, you know, 20, 30 years old, you need to start investing into your balance, your proprioception, your coordination, all of these things now, and have that strong foundation for when you get to your 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s. The more you put into it, it's no different than investing into your retirement. The more you put into training this or investing in this, the better the result is going to be down the road.
Yeah, no doubt. It's freedom. you're giving yourself freedom and extending your life and having a more complete or fulfilling life. I don't know anybody who's older, if they're just sitting around, that generally not happy people. They're miserable because our mental, you know, our mental state is directly tied to our physical state. And when our physical state's in the gutter, well, I think we pretty much follow suit with our mental state there, you know? So those two things are so well tied together. And one of the huge takeaways from when I was at that conference was, you know, finding something, an activity as you're getting older that's an act, you know, I say an active activity, but something that's has a physical demand to it.
It requires a little bit of exertion.
A little bit of exertion, not just, you know, painting or something. And that's great.
unless you're throwing.
If you're doing Pollock paintings and you're tossing paint on them and splattering it, you know, and getting really into it, that's cool. But they actually said that hiking is one of the greatest activities for people of any age, but absolutely for people who are older, because, and I'm not saying you have to do some grand hike, but trail walking, because it demands that you are mentally locked in with the terrain that you're on, because you're uncertain. Mm-hmm. You have to take steps consciously. You have to understand, you know, going up or going down or going around something, stepping over a root or over a rock or going up or stepping onto, you know, some type of ledge of some kind or something. And so hiking in its very nature is obviously walking, right? But it's unpredictable walking. So it's great for your heart, but it's amazing for your mental capacity, right? Mm-hmm. And it's connecting. It's that mind muscle connection that is so, you know, so just absolutely necessary in our lives. And the more we're able to, you know, use an activity like hiking or biking or walking or, you know, things that are similar to that, swimming, you know, we're using all of our limbs, right?
Right.
All of the muscles of our body. And it just has so many, you know, you could write multi-thousand word papers on the benefits,
right,
of these activities and on the body and on the brain. And it's amazing that the people, and they show the testimony from these people who are in their 70s and 80s, who are, you know, living these more active lives. And you would think, when you look at their face and the glow and the life that these people have, the energy that these people have mentally, they look and sound like they're in their 30s.
And not just that, it's a lifestyle to them.
Yeah.
They've been doing this probably since they're in their 30s. Now, some, they might be late to the game. There's no, I mean, we have all seen those people that have smoked 3 packs of cigarettes every day and they live to 100 with no health issues at all. Then you have those people who
defying nature.
Then you have those people who've never smoked and they'll die of lung cancer. Yeah. There's those anomalies.
Yes.
But again, if you start investing into your health early, especially your balance, your coordination, the things that are going to give you the longest lasting positive effect on the body, start doing them now. Like, yeah, here at the compound, we strength train. We sometimes we do some powerlifting. We do some bodybuilding exercises, but a bulk of what we do here is going to set us up for success in the future. We do our best. Again, we're not perfect. We like our bench pressing. We like our tire slams and tire flips and ropes and sleds and all these things that builds functional strength. But we also make sure we're integrating things that are going to get us to that finish line, that thing we call death. We're going to be hopefully as active as possible, as healthy as possible until we take our last breath.
Thank you so much for listening to the Strong by Design podcast. If you're enjoying today's show, please subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes. Go to strongbydesignpodcast.com. Let's get back to the show. You're 100% right. And it's how I know I see my life playing out. I know it's how you see your life playing out, that we're going to be extremely active people, men, families on a regular basis, on a daily basis until that day comes, right? Because I don't want to live in a diseased state for years on end. And it brings me to another point, which I know this is something I did a video actually a while back about this very topic, and it's called compressed morbidity. And people will be like, well, what the heck are you talking about? What's more? I know what morbid is like. Compressed morbidity is simply compressing the amount of time in your life that you're going to live in a diseased or ill state. And so it's the notion that with the increased exercise and movement from balance-based exercise, like hiking, biking, swimming, running, you know, exercise, you know, body weight exercise, right? Calisthenics, that older people will significantly decrease how much time at the end of their lives is spent in disease or illness. So for example, you're in fairly good health. You go get checked up on a regular basis. You're in your mid 80s and you're an active person. You walk every day, right? You're participating in this and in that, and you're living a very independent life. You don't need someone else to help you, you know, go to the grocery store or cut mow the lawn or whatever it is. You know, you're doing all these things for yourself, and you go out one day on a hike and you don't make it home. Meaning you go out and you die of natural causes doing something active that you love. I mean, yeah, you might as well go. If you're going to go out, you might as well go out big, right?
You slipped off Mount Everest.
A pterodactyl came down and picked you up, and I'm going back a few million years. But if it could be something amazing, like, yeah, you went surfing at 87 and a shark, you know, just bit you in half. We're getting a little out of control here. I was trying to keep it pretty simple. Like, you go out for a nice walk. And then you have a heart attack and you die. You know, your heart did its 4 billion beats. And then it was like, well, that was the last one, slugger. You know, been a good life.
Right. Rather than sitting on a couch
for 3 years.
As soon as you retired, let's say at age 65, and then and you live till 85.
Now you're talking about 20 years miserable.
Would you say those 20 years were satisfying and life giving and life taking? Like, no, it's draining. It's pretty much you're becoming, I don't want to say it, but like a waste of space. Like, there's no, I mean, obviously, I don't want to offend anybody, but like,
no, I know what you're
if
saying.
You have the ability to do something great, just do it. Just because you retire doesn't mean like, I'm gonna sit back and watch my soap operas and do nothing.
Right.
And this should, when you retire, in my opinion, should be the most vibrant, lively, selfless time of your life, because you've put in the work, you've hopefully accumulated some sort of wealth or retirement, a little bit more so than you're living month to month.
Like, you've raised your family,
you're giving back,
your children have children,
you're traveling across the country to somewhere on your bucket list. Like, you're doing these things.
Yeah.
You don't want to be like, oh, I'm done. I'm just going to sit and just sit. And do nothing.
And do crossword puzzles.
No.
Yeah, I mean, that's fun for a moment here and there in between.
However, I will say, in the defense of those who love crossword puzzles, that is actually, I want to talk here for a moment.
It's good. It has its merit. Yeah, go ahead.
So, this is a good segue. So, I do want to now talk about how we can start improving balance. Now, we have to look, when talking about the balance all comes from the cerebellum, which is the back part of the brain, the lower part of the brain. And it's responsible for, it's pretty much called the balance center of the body. So we're dealing with the brain. We're not dealing with muscle here. We're dealing with the brain. So when we're talking about improving your balance, or your balance is going, there's three components of balance that will either say you have good balance or not good balance. You have your visual, your eyesight, how you perceive things.
Which is our number one, even though...
Then you have your auditory, your ear. being able to frequencies and sensitivity and your equilibrium, the flow of the liquid inside your eardrum and things like that. But then you have your typical joints, what's the word I'm looking for? The pressure placed on certain limbs and things like that. So these three are the components, and this is where crossword puzzles kind of help keep the brain fresh. And when your brain is fresh and it's alert and it's reprogramming and learning, and that keeps your brain alert. The more alert your brain is, obviously, it's going to affect all the systems within the body to operate at a higher level. So, long story short, if you are doing crossword puzzles and that's it, you need to be doing more than that.
Yep.
You need to be physically exercising the other systems of your body, balance, coordination, strength, and things like that.
Yeah. I mean, your brain is just 3 pounds of pretty much soft
mass,
mass inside your head, right? Inside our skull that we're still learning about how it really works and functions. But the way to light that whole brain up, right, and creating as many pathways that are, working. And I think of your brain as just like a crazy network, a highway system, right? And in California, where there's just like all these roads merging together, and you want to keep that traffic flowing. You want to keep all those cars moving along all those pathways and roads. You don't want to have breakdowns and detours and congestion.
Right.
And that's what happens when you stop moving as much, or you stop using the brain way. You're not doing the Sudokus and the crosswords and challenging yourself with word searches and stuff like that. So when you start to remove those things from your life, and the brain starts to not get as challenged, and those pathways kind of deteriorate. You know, and so we need to kind of always be very thoughtful and mindful of the fact that we need daily stimulus,
right?
And that can be just like a easy workout, like what Brian and I just did today. We have a yoga workout coming up tomorrow, right? So we kind of strategically did a certain workout today to keep our legs somewhat fresh, but we were mindful. We did like a kind of a total body workout, but doing different kinds of movements because we're like, well, we know these are good for us. And they hit our body in all different ways from head to toe. But we won't be overly sore tomorrow for our total body, like yoga workout, which actually is really hard for us guys.
Yeah. So,
you got to just always be very thoughtful and strategic with what you're doing.
Yeah. And it's not just something simple as just do this one exercise and it's going to cure everything.
That's right.
Looking at balance, like many other things in life, you have to look at it from many different angles, many different lenses, many different perspectives, because again, you need to be making sure that you're sleeping properly in order to eliminate the brain fog that might block that highway or prevent everything from moving correctly. Mm-hmm. So if you're not getting the sleep you need, you're not going to have the energy you need to exercise or to think clearly. But not only that, if you're not exercising the correct way, it's like, oh, I'm balancing on 2 feet. Well, what happens when you're not on 2 feet? What happens when you're barefoot? What happens when you're in the shower and you slip? Are you able to grab the bar real quick?
Right. What's
your reaction time? So the best way to improve balance, and this is my opinion, is to train like an athlete. Train like a high class, high profile, Super Bowl level, World Series champ level type of athlete that has to get everything perfect as pretty much all the time. And I'm talking super fast coordination, stability and agility like you've never seen before, strength, power, recovery, all these things. If you train like an athlete, there's a good chance you're going to improve and become an athlete. Like you just did a video the other day. Like if you want to look like an athlete, you got to train like an athlete.
Yeah, that's it.
And balance is one of those things that is going to prevent injury because if an athlete, a wide receiver, comes down and lands on his ankle incorrectly, he's out of the game. But if he strengthens that ankle, so when he does land, it doesn't break, it doesn't bend. So now as a strength coach, you train for those situations. Now, of course, you can't train at the same instance, like, hey, jump, fall from this 6-foot ledge and try not to break your ankle. Like, there's just those things that will happen, but Dr. Ron always says this, stack the deck in your favor,
right?
Train these systems how it might play out. Mm-hmm. Like, if you know you enjoy hiking, kind of train. And when we talk train, we're talking physical exercise. Like, go to the gym and train for the environment that you're best fit. Mm-hmm. It's the said principle, specificity, adaptations, imposed demand. So it's a said principle. You're training for something that's specific. Like, if you're a football player, you're going to train for the sport of football. If you're a tennis player, you're going to train for the sport of tennis. If you want to improve balance, you need to train for balance.
Looking to win some free Critical Bench swag? Here's how. Subscribe to the Strong by Design podcast on iTunes and then visit us on Instagram at The Critical Bench to let us know you're a subscriber. Be sure to DM us to get your free gifts.
You know, and I'm sure there's a few people that are listening, maybe more than a few, that say, wow, Coach Brian says to train like a world-class athlete. And they're getting nervous, or they're like, oh, yeah. There's regressions for everything.
Oh, yeah.
You don't need to work with the same weights. It all comes down to, like, just the being thoughtful in how you're putting a routine together. And if you need to consult with somebody, an experienced, you know, trainer or coach, they will absolutely put together something for you that's total body, you know, that's right. Comprehensive, that has, you know, the ability to make progress in it over a period of, you know, weeks or months. And so you start off as a beginner and you move into intermediate and stuff. But, you know, we've worked with tons of people in their 60s and 70s that were avid golfers or really into tennis or really wanted to just, be better at X, Y, or Z, whatever that was,
right,
at their age. And there is absolutely every reason in the world for that person to have still function or have, you know, come at those workouts with 100% intensity based on their age, based on their limitations, knowing their body. They know their body.
Yeah.
They know their body very well. They know they got like a, you know, like a bum shoulder thing that they're working around, or they know they got, you know, an old knee injury, you know, that, you know, that, you know, that's, they can still function. They just got to work around it.
Right.
So you work with what you have.
Yeah.
But there is no reason, you know, because you get those people that are like, well, I'm in a bit of pain, or, you know, I'm trying to.
That's right.
Go get help. You know, if you have an injury or if you're experiencing pain, it doesn't mean just stop everything forever and you're not meant to be active anymore in life.
Right.
No, I mean, maybe you might need some rest and recovery time, but you got to get
still,
right.
There's still things you can do.
Absolutely. I mean, you got to get back at it.
You got to keep moving the needle, keep moving the mark. And if you're not sure where exactly to begin, first figure out your known surroundings. I mean, if you're in your 30s, I don't want to say you have a little bit more time to push this or delay. If you're in your 30s, I'd be focusing on just general health, just general fitness. When you get to your 40s and late 30s, early 40s, you know, you need to start thinking about menopause or testosterone, the decline of that and the implications that has. But you also need to be looking at your career. Like, are you sitting behind a desk? And now you might need to start fixing your posture, stretching out your hips. Once you start hitting like your late 40s, early 50s, now you're like, all right, I'm slowing down. I don't recover as well as I used to. Maybe I should stop bench pressing because my shoulder hurts. Now you need to start looking at, like, all right, what's the next chapter? And then pretty much from like the 60s on is like, if you're healthy when you're 60, you're in maintenance mode. You're trying to stay as healthy as possible. And if you're in your 70s or 80s, that's when you start looking at, like, all right, how do I decrease the chance of this happening? How do I prevent this from happening? You can still make strength gains. I'm not saying you can't, but if you're saying, hey, I don't have the strength I used to, maybe I need to start focusing on my strength. Absolutely start focusing on your strength. But know, K-N-O-W, know that the closer you do get towards that the end of the lifespan, certain things will go away. Your balance, your coordination, your strength, your ability to recover, mm-hmm. your reaction time. Like these are known things that will happen.
And directly tied to vision, hearing, loss of hearing, right? As we get older, oftentimes, right, our eyesight starts to diminish. Our ability to hear well diminishes. And as those things are impacted, absolutely, our balance is going to be as well. The first thing we go to when it comes to our balance is we use our eyesight. We use our vision to like set our eyes on the horizon, right? And once we kind of see where we're at, I mean, just the simple act of standing. I mean, anybody listening right now, unless you're driving a car, you can, you know, stand on one leg and then close your eyes.
And this is a good test.
This is a great test. I mean, so stand on one leg and see how long you can stand on that one leg with your eyes open.
Now is this test with shoes or without shoes? I can't remember.
I prefer this test without shoes because we're much more obviously grounded. And it's a better drill barefoot because you actually are going to feel more balanced in your bare foot.
And fun fact, there's over 7,000 nerve endings one foot.
Unbelievable.
So anyways, that was a fun fact.
Whenever you can exercise barefooted, go for it. Whether that's like yoga or some type of body weight or calisthenics exercise, walking around the house. Barefoot is the way to go. It's very healthy. It's very good for your body. And like Brian said, there's so many nerve endings and things in the foot.
You get the best feedback.
You're getting that direct, you know, from the bottom of your foot right to your brain. And it's good. Anytime you can strengthen those neural pathways,
right?
You know, go for it.
So this test,
do the test. So it's a single leg test. Just stand on one leg, hold the other one up just a few inches off the floor. You can put your arms out to the side if you want or down at your side and see how long you can hold that position without falling over. Then do the same thing with your eyes closed and do it for each leg, you know, because one leg's probably going to feel more stable than the other, depending on, you know, if you're, you know, chances are if you kick with your right leg, your left leg's your grounding leg, you're going to feel more stable, more sturdy on your left leg, vice versa. Do this test and see. And the longer you're able to, you know, to hold out, they actually equate that to like what age you are physically.
Yeah.
Not obviously chronologically how old you are, but physically how old you are.
Yeah. And the older you get, obviously, the less of the requirement is. Like if you're 30, I think the requirement's like 30 seconds on one foot.
It is. Yeah. It's almost, yeah. And, but I mean, geez, if you're getting up there, if you're, you know, in your 60s or your 70s and you're standing on one leg and, you know, get near something sturdy like a wall or a pole, something that you can reach out and use for support if you need it. But just something as simple as that is such a great way to start to determine where you're at. And the more you incorporate balance exercise into your daily regimens, your daily exercises, routines, you're going to see those numbers improve.
Yeah.
You know, all of a sudden you're standing on one leg for, you know, 30, 60 seconds, and then you're doing it with your eyes closed for 30 plus seconds.
Right.
And you know, you're in good shape. Thank you so much for listening to the Strong by Design podcast. If you're enjoying today's show, please subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes. Go to strongbydesignpodcast.com. Let's get back to the show.
Yeah, it really is kind of simple, and you can become as creative as you want when you're dealing with balance and how to improve balance. For example, I did a workshop maybe about a year ago now, maybe a little bit less, but one of the presenters there, she was a podiatrist who specialized in balance, obviously, because that's what podiatrists do. Mm-hmm. And she was just giving us some examples and some things that we could do just on a practical level. Again, this was a seminar for coaches to coach clients, customers, athletes, whatever. And she said, let the person make the exercise. And what she meant by that was that for moms, if you can wash dishes barefoot on one leg, That's improving your balance because you're still moving dishes around.
Right.
You're still reaching, you're still bending. And then after your foot starts getting a little tired, switch to the other side.
Right.
I mean, little things like that.
Yeah.
You know, going for a hike or walking around doing some yard work barefoot, you know, to get that biofeedback, like you said, create those neural pathways. Doing as many things as you can barefoot is really going to be the best thing for you. Now, I understand some people might have really, really sensitive feet. Then your next best option would be go to a shoe that would be considered like a minimal shoe, like a minimalist or a very low profile shoe where it's, you know, it's a couple millimeters off the ground, you know, like a very thin sandal, things like that. That would be your next best bet. But I mean, we all been to the gym where there's one person doing a 1 foot arm curl. Like they're like, what are they doing? It kind of looks weird, but they're training their balance by doing something else. Like it's not just like, all right, Chris and Brian told me that I have to stand on 1 foot and just stand there. Like, no, you can, you're never going to be in a situation. Put it this way. You're not going to be, you're going to, again, put it this way. You're going to fall when you don't expect it. You're going to fall or slip or when you least expect it.
Like that's how it always happens.
Usually,
right?
Like you're not gonna fall. Like,
hey, I think I'm gonna fall here. It's usually just takes you by storm.
It's no different than the guy at Disney. He wasn't expecting to be like, oh, I think I'm gonna trip right now. I'm gonna balance on 1 foot and then fall. Like, no, it was unexpected. The wide receiver falling down, he's not planning on spraining his ankle or landing on something. It's unexpected is when that happens. So when you're going about throughout your day, even if you're standing at your computer. I know you, Chris, you stand at your computer. You can balance on 1 foot, balance on the other foot, balance barefoot. Take a, you know, just, you really can just integrate these little things. That takes care of the physical side. That doesn't really take care of your audio or your visual. Now, visual would be something simple as go get your eyes checked. Go renew your prescription. Get a new set of glasses. I mean, that really what it comes down to. And then the same thing with hearing. If you know that you're having a hard time hearing, go look at getting some...
Go get your ears checked. People barely ever talk about hearing loss, you know. And I don't even know if you knew this, that my dad was a hearing aid specialist.
Yeah, I remember you told me that. Yeah.
My dad was a hearing aid specialist for almost 30 years. He worked for Beltone and I grew up with my dad fitting people for hearing aids. I mean, all in the late 70s, 80s, 90s. And, you know, it's not something that people talk about a lot. But, you know, we all see the commercials. We all see the, you know, the Audible commercials nowadays, right? But it almost seems like eyesight is such an accepted, I don't know what to call it, disability, but it's an accepted...
It's a norm.
Norm, right? Is that like, people lose their vision or, you know, need glasses or need contact lenses or get LASIK eye surgery or something. Very few people ever seem to talk about loss of hearing.
It's like, almost I can't hear you.
It's almost like it's like a taboo topic or something, or people get almost like get embarrassed by the fact that they can't hear.
Yeah.
Right. And so, but hearing is just as important as your eyesight. It really is. For me, they're on the same level. And go get your ears checked. Go get your hearing checked. I mean, I tell you, two things in life as we age that we already talked about, your eyesight and your hearing, as they diminish, you know, the quality of life can diminish. And that and then also directly ties into your physical movement and your balance and stuff. So be on top of those things. Go get those things checked out. And if you feel like people keep telling me I'm missing things or they have to tell me things two and three times. Maybe I should go get my ears checked.
Yeah.
You don't have to be older to have hearing loss or issue. Maybe you listen to music too loud. Maybe you use headphones with the volume turned up too high and you've damaged your ears at a younger age. You don't know, but these are things that people don't really consider when they think of balance.
And, and again, balance is made up of those three parts.
Yes.
Your eyes, how you perceive, you know, depth, perception, whatever. Then also your hearing, which is your equilibrium, your balance.
That's right.
A lot, a third of your balance comes from your ears. We've all had that, you know, that that earache, and then we're like, man, I'm so dizzy. Yeah, it's because you can't stabilize. That's equalize the pressure. You don't know which way is up. And I've suffered from vertigo myself.
Oh my gosh. And once I've heard that's awful.
It's
feeling.
I don't wish it upon my worst enemy. It's the worst thing that I've ever experienced. And I get it infrequent, but you know, once, twice a year. I mean, it'll put me literally on my back. I can't do anything.
Yep.
But it's all because when my ears go out, everything starts going, you know, I become dizzy. So it's affecting that my ears affect my eyesight. And once my eyesight's loopy, I can't walk. I can't balance. Mm. So if you think, man, I don't have good balance, I can't pass the test, I can't stabilize, it could be your ears. It could be your eyes. It could be your physical capabilities, your strength. You can't have exceptional strength and be blind and deaf and expect good balance. All three things have to work really well if you're looking to maintain a good balanced body. I mean, that's what it comes down to. Now, we don't have the solution, but we have many solutions to offer you. First, obviously, get your eyes checked if you need to. Re-up your prescription if for lenses, contacts, whatever. I think it's every 2 years they recommend getting a new script. Get your hearing tested, but if you know your hearing's perfect, it's still not a bad idea to get your ears checked, especially the older you get. Now, for the younger people, you're not going to be worrying about your eyes or ears. Now you can start focusing on the exercises that are going to set you up for success down the road. Bench press, that might be good if you're falling. You can just quickly push yourself up off the ground. Like that's a good trait to have, but integrate these movements. These functional movements that are going to, again, set you up for success down the road. Mm-hmm. And you can find more information on specific balance exercises on our YouTube channel. Go to youtube.com/criticalbench or just go to the search bar, type in critical bench balance, and you're going to find, we've got quite a few good videos on there.
Oh, yeah.
For athletes, for senior citizens, just general health. We've got a lot of good
beginner level stuff, how to get started with a couple basic things that you can just add into your current workouts. A few exercises here and there can go a really long way. And to be honest with you, balance exercises are really fun. I used to do a lot of the stuff I would train my clients with, I incorporated into my own workouts. Like you said, the single leg, like, you know, one arm curl to an overhead press.
That's all
or,
it takes.
You know, just a single leg deadlift to a curl, you know, or, you know, just basic things that, you know, someone might catch you and be like, well, what kind of goofy move is that guy doing? But it wasn't my whole workout. It was just one of the movements that I added into my workout because it was a total body exercise. It was really focused on my ability to balance and put myself in a situation that was, you
unstable.
Know, unstable. Yeah. And, you know, it's a real good confidence booster when you do some of those exercises. We're all so used to being on our 2 feet, you know?
Yeah.
But sometimes we're not always on our two or have the luxury of being on our 2 feet, you know? So get good at being on 1 foot in certain environments. And it's just has massive implications for, you know, down the road. It could save you from a fall. It could save you from, you know, having to go down to the ground hard, not be ready for it and busting something, which leads to, you know, unfortunately, again, as when we're older and that happens, that could be the beginning of the end. That could be the last year of your life looks like because you have a broken pelvis and you've lost your independence and you're miserable and you're not moving. And then your muscles start to atrophy and it's not a good spot to be in. So the more we do a lot of that stuff in our 30s, 40s, 50s, we're setting ourselves up for success and longevity and a fuller, greater life. Thank you so much for listening to the Strong by Design podcast. If you find our show helpful in any way, please let us know by leaving a 5-star review on iTunes. Go to strongbydesignpodcast.com. Your review will help us reach more listeners and continue to change lives. Let's get back to the show.
Yeah, I will tell you that when I've started integrating balance exercises into my routine, and I think we'll end right shortly after this.
Yeah.
Is that being a runner, I'm a very athletic person. I love all sports, playing tennis, all these things that there's just risk involved. I mean, there's been so many times when I've gone for a trail run, a trail race, and I've rolled my ankle. I mean, like my ankle bone is on the ground and I'm still upright, but my ankles and my shins and my knees and my feet knew what to do. And they were so well conditioned and trained that to a normal person, they would have probably have broken their ankle. And me, I look down and I hold my breath and I'm like, okay, I can walk. Thank you, Lord Jesus, because to a normal person, their leg would have been shattered.
That's right.
And I can't tell you how many times that's happened to me because my ankles are conditioned for things like that. And I only give credit to the balance training that I've done, whether it's on an RX pad, barefoot training,
wobble board, rocker boards,
single leg hops, things like this, like training like an athlete, because if an athlete, again, wide receiver falls down and he's getting paid $12 million a year to play, to catch a ball and run, and he comes down, what's going to happen? He's fired.
Yeah.
He's out of a job just because his ankles were weak.
Yeah.
So hopefully you found, hopefully you found this. I know it's a topic that doesn't really spark too much interest or fascination.
Well, it can be off the radar for people, but it affects everybody.
Yeah. So
it really does. It impacts everyone. And I don't think in life, a lot of times we need a little nudge. We need somebody to start a conversation about certain things in our life that we kind of maybe take for granted or don't spend to invest too much time in considering or thinking about. This is pretty big,
right?
You know, deal,
right?
Especially in that last third of our life. And I actually have some of the stronger statements. I took a whole bunch of notes from this conference I was at because I was really impressed by the collection of experts. People that were, surgeons and, you know, people that were really into brain health and people who were, exercise gurus and stuff, and putting all this great information together based on studies and things. Right. And, so I'd written a few things down that are just, I think, some good takeaways to leave you with. I wrote, the primary purpose of the brain is to control movement of the body. That's the primary purpose of the brain. Okay. Cause we have to kind of go back to our brain thousands of years ago, not just in the last few centuries, So the primary purpose of our brain is really to move the body, right? The more we move, the less pain we feel. People kind of sometimes confuse that and actually do it the other way.
Yeah.
They think the more we move, the more pain we feel, but no. How many times do you sit in a long car ride? How miserable does your body feel when you've just been in a seated, stationary, awful position for 8 hours and you get out of the car?
Of course it hurts
you
to
feel
move
awful.
Because you've been fixed.
Right. In this awful, seated, not good position. So actually, the more we move, the less pain we feel, and the better, which really equals the better we feel.
Right.
And we feel better physically and mentally. I wrote, create functional independence until you die. That should be a huge goal of your life.
Not until you retire.
Not until you retire. This is until your last breath. You should be finding ways to create independence in your life. Movement is more effective for our brain, and the studies indicate, than the Sudokus and the crossword puzzles. Not to say that those aren't worth doing. Hey, I love doing those things. I still do them. I really do. I have little books all around the house. if I'm just like needed to kill 10 minutes or 20 minutes, like those are so much fun.
Yeah.
But movement is the most effective thing. That walk outside in nature, that hike in the woods, that swim, whatever it is, those are the most effective things for our brain. And then lastly, I'll say today, and this is as true right now as it's ever been. Today is the greatest time in history to be 50 to 100 years old. Mm-hmm. It really is. Because we know way more about how our brain and our body and the connection between those two, how they work, than ever before. And so because of all these, you know, all these
advancements,
right, that we've made, this is a great time to be an older adult, right? So you should be looking forward to all those things, all the travel you can do, all those, you know, those physical things that you're still capable of later in your life, than ever before. So get excited about getting older in terms of the freedom that's still there for you, as long as you're setting yourself up.
That's good stuff.
Yeah, today. So Brian, thanks for an awesome conversation about a topic that we both really enjoy.
Yeah, that was great. And again, listener, hopefully you found it helpful. And if you personally put it this way, I want you to be able to share this with somebody. I want somebody that you know to hear this.
There's got
to
be one person.
So if you're 30, send it to your parents. If you're 20, send it to your grandparents. I don't know. Just send it to somebody, because we want to maybe start a balanced revolution. Because, I mean, if you think about it, the more people that, again, balance or falls or accidental injuries related to falling is a top reason or a top cause of death in the world.
Yeah.
So if we can reduce the amount of falls,
that's right,
just through simple everyday practices, think about
that's all it does.
The decrease in healthcare costs. Think about the positivity of people volunteering time and experiencing and sharing wisdom and things like this. The more that the aging population, the 60 and up, are able to give back and to get in the, not the workforce, but get into the environment and get into these situations where they're able to give back. I mean, think about how much good can be done if we just start implementing just some basic balance principles just to keep people healthy.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe that's big outside the box, grand picture.
That's big thinking, but that's what we do around here. We think big.
Like, that's what I think. Like, the potential if people start increasing their health, of course they're going to want to give back. They're going to want to do more, because the more you move, the better you feel. The better you feel, the more likely you're going to be able to help somebody or encourage somebody or just give away your time.
The more you move, the more you want to move.
That's it.
It's an amazing chain reaction. I hope, you know, if you're listening, there is someone that you can share this with it'll touch them and it'll get them to take action and think about this. And it's very important. And that's why we do this podcast, because we want to help you and we want to change lives. We want to impact people. We want to make the world just better. And thank you so much for spending your time with us today. Please share this, subscribe, leave us a rating and review so that our podcast becomes more visible on iTunes and Google and wherever podcasts are being listened to. So we just thank you so much, and we look forward to giving you many more episodes. So hey, high five to Coach Brian. There you go. Another great episode. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you real soon.
Bye now.
Thank you so much for listening to the Strong by Design podcast. If you found value in today's episode, please subscribe so that more people can find out about our show. Plus, you don't want to miss any future episodes with the amazing guests and topics we have lined up for you.